Thank you for listening to this podcast on women in negotiation. My name is Malene Rex and I'm a negotiation advisor and trainer, and I'm based in Copenhagen in Denmark. I work specifically with how gender affects our negotiations, and I've written two books on the topic. In this podcast, I'll share some advice from my second book, Negotiating with Yourself: Women Making Midlife Career Changes. You can find more information about the book and my work on my webpage, malenerex.dk. Negotiating with yourself is always the preparation you need to do to negotiate with others. This stage in a negotiation process is incredibly important. And when it's about the big existential negotiations, like will I stay in this job or will I jump ship and do something else, they are difficult, they are complex, they can be fun, but you really need to work on them from many different angles. So I thought plenty of material for a whole book on that.
Quite often when you try and raise this issue with other people, they shut down or say, why don't you just stay in your job? And you have such a good and nice job and it's well paid, and what's wrong with that? And aren't you making a massive fuss? So this reaction from the outside world, because it's such a fragile thing, why is it still a taboo in certain ways? Because in order to take yourself seriously, sometimes the world would need to feel that this is a serious subject.
You quite naturally have a lot of conversations about what to do with the rest of your life when you hit 40, 45, 50. And a lot of people would like to talk about this and have dreams and wishes concerning this, but find it almost too huge a topic to start even contemplating, thinking about, because it has so serious consequences. If I allow myself to really feel, am I happy here? Is this what I want to do for the rest of my life, or should I do something different? But we instinctively know that it's not just a question of having a conversation over dinner saying, oh, I think I might do something different. No, this is huge and life-changing, not just for you, potentially, but also for everyone around you. And you will hear echoes of people's own thoughts and considerations once you raise this topic. So it's interesting when I tell people, when I've been talking about my book, writing this book, I often get almost like a little whispered comment, ooh, I would like to read that. But it's not something, say, hey, let's talk about our dreams for changing our careers, because the next wave would be, but I don't think it's realistic, or I need to think about if I would ever find another job, you know, my age, and what about the mortgage, and what about my partner, etc. So I find that there's a huge interest in the whole concept of changing your career midlife, but that people also know, and rightly so, that it's not just something you go out and do.
Quite often there are small voices that begin, small fragile voices that some people have a tendency not to listen to. And for a lot of people, including a lot of my friends, will ignore those voices and keep going in the same direction. Why is it important to listen to those voices?
In the course of writing this book, I have interviewed quite a few people who have made fairly drastic changes midlife in their career. And a common denominator for these people is that it started as a whisper or a little stone in your shoe, and it grew, this dissatisfaction with how things were for them in their work life. And they reacted in different ways, but they all reacted with a decision to say, this is not okay. I'm not happy enough. You know, maybe I'm not desperately unhappy, but I want more from life. But we are so used to having, when we are having conversations about our work, we moan and groan and, oh, you know, this is all really annoying, etc., etc. But very rarely do we help each other talk about, so what would be amazing? Because it's almost like we are afraid to open that box. Because once you open the box of ideas, what could I be doing instead? then it becomes very difficult to shut that box again. It's safer to stay where you are and just talk about, moan and groan about what's not working in your working life. But if you start talking to other people about your dreams and wishes and wouldn't it be amazing if we could or if I could, then once these brilliant butterflies come flying out of that box, you can't put them back in the box. And then you have to do something. And we know that instinctively. So I think a lot of people pull back from having positive conversations as friends about, so you've been sitting here talking about how unhappy you are at work. What kind of work would be really amazing for you if you, for a moment, forget about, you know, finances and other people? Just you. So who are you really? And you can have these thoughts throughout your life, but once you hit midlife, so many other things change that there's like an opportunity, a window of opportunity, because your situation changes anyway. Your kids move away from home. All of a sudden, you have to rethink your home life. You go into menopause as a woman, and everything changes, and it affects people a lot. And you start becoming aware of your own mortality. Your parents might be dying. So there's a lot of, you know, huge changes in your life that shakes you. If you then combine that with a wish or a want to change your career at the same go, you will need help, because it's a tall order to do that on top of all the other things that happen midlife.
Perhaps also that you now feel that you have a power, perhaps. And also being, what I recognize is that you for the past 20 years have been putting up with something that perhaps you didn't always agree with.
When I interview people, it strikes me that a lot of people have not chosen their careers. They've sort of been sliding into a career more or less randomly because of opportunities that presented themselves or other people following in other people's footsteps. But what happens if when you come to midlife phase is... That's why I start the book by asking, so who are you really right now? Is that I find that people return to who they were originally. Their first ideas when they were young about who they were as a professional person, what they were interested in doing, what they enjoyed working with, etc. But a lot of the time that original you sort of got squished a bit by life. You got some opportunities, you got started on a career, you had commitments, financial commitments, family commitments, and it all got muddled up in that. But now that that is sort of easing off and you feel much more experienced, you feel the strength of being an older person as well, will give you the power to go back. And people do that. The people that I interviewed about big changes in their lives, they've actually returned to who they were. They look back and say, well, this is... I've changed my career from being an executive to now being a writer, and that's actually what I've always wanted to do. So they go back to the roots, but now with a lot more experience, a lot less pressure, and more knowledge and strength. So it's a golden opportunity to reevaluate your career and see, so everything else is changing, so is it now time to also change and adjust my career?
Would you always say, go and embrace that, jump on that ship?
I would, is the short answer. Perhaps not in a huge and ground-shaking way. The point about making changes midlife in your career is that it can be small changes. It can be adjustments. But I think we owe it to ourselves to make sure that the rest of the time, or the time we have left in our working lives, that they are that time is spent in the best possible way with all the knowledge we now have about ourselves and others and how the world works. So it's I see it as an opportunity. So follow that voice as far as you can. Maybe you don't make huge changes, but maybe you just adjust it enough for you to become as happy as you possibly can be.
So what do you need to do? What is this book about?
The book is meant as a sort of a hand in the back, so to speak, or a help to sit down and think about what needs to change. If you've gotten to the stage where something is whispering in your ear that I think you need people's perspectives, you need stories of people who have done it. So there's a lot of examples in the book of people who have actually made changes and how they did it. And one really important thing to do is to identify what in your working life motivates you most. What are you most motivated by in as a professional person? And I'm talking about intrinsic motivation here, not external rewards. I'm motivated by, you know, huge salary or fame and fortune, which is actually often what people are more concerned about when they're younger. And I find a lot of people mid-age or midlife, they are less concerned with money and fame and fortune and more concerned with meaning. So in the book, I'm talking about the basic psychological needs that we all have if we are to be motivated from within. And this is what I find that people are looking for if they want to change something. They want to be motivated from within because it's a much nicer way of being motivated because it's when you do things because you can't not do them.
So in this book, you divided it up in three parts. Can you tell a little bit about that?
The book is divided into three parts in the sense that the first part is about who are you right now? Just a lot of questions, examples of people having had that conversation with themselves about who am I really right now and what the consequences were of that. But also a range of questions to consider and some books to read on the topic. Because it has to start with just allowing yourself to sit down and let the dust settle and look yourself in the mirror and feel. And it's not something you do in an afternoon, Sunday afternoon with a cup of coffee. It may be something that takes time. The next thing I look at in the book is the section of the motivation thing. What motivates me? What are the things in my long experience as a working person, what have I been most motivated by? And can I use that information to shape the next phase in my life? And for that, it's interesting to look at a specific theory that's called self-determination theory, where psychologists have looked at three basic psychological needs that we have as human beings if we are to be intrinsically motivated. That is, if we are to do something that we just do for the sake of doing it. And the first is autonomy. We need to be able to have some kind of say. We need to be able to influence our lives, to put some kind of mark on it. Doesn't mean being alone. It just means having a say, being back in charge. And the second is competent, to feel competent and to be recognized for the competencies that I value myself. And the last one is connectedness, to be in a situation where I feel connected to others in a meaningful way, that I'm part of a meaningful relationship or context. I find that these three basic psychological needs are quite handy when you look at yourself and your motivation as kind of filters. Sometimes I ask people to look at the current situation and check. So if we look at where you are at the moment, how's it going with the autonomy? Are you autonomous enough? Can you decide enough about your work or can you adjust that? What about your competencies? Are you working in the field or with the things that you most enjoy working with and that you think you're best at? And lastly, are you on the right team? Are you with the right people? And it's just a way to organize thinking about analyzing a current situation, but also giving clues as to, so where am I going? And as I am a negotiation advisor, one of my primary tools in creating change is negotiating my way to a change. And this is an important part when you think about having to change in your life, because you automatically think my surroundings will never agree. They would never allow me to do it, or they would never embrace it or help me or support me. So in that I hear, okay, so we negotiate. So instead of saying I need to convince my surroundings that this is a brilliant idea because they might never get to that point, I can maybe just negotiate. Maybe I can say, I'm going to make this change, whether you like it or not, but I would like to do it in a way that also accommodates your fears, your worries, your wishes and wants. And that is a negotiation. So I give the negotiation techniques that I think you can use in this situation once you start shaping your way to a different kind of work life. And I think the other thing that you can do is have these conversations, perhaps not in groups, but with individual people that you trust. And in the conversations, facilitate them in the sense that you say, I need to make this change and I need you to help me give birth to the new me, the new career me. So you have a specific job here. It's not to make me realistic and cautious. It's to helping me explore what could I do, what is possible. So you need to help me along the way. But it will also open up for an enormous amount of work we need to do for ourselves in navigating in this new landscape. And it all comes back to if we have to navigate through change, if we have to navigate through a lot of opportunities, we need to have a compass. And the compass is sitting down, having a negotiation with yourself about what are my deepest values, what makes sense in my life, what is important to me, what am I going for. Only then do we have a compass that we can navigate through all the opportunities and possibilities we have in life. But we need to take it home in order to go out in the world. You've been listening to an interview with me, Malene Rex, about negotiating midlife career changes. Please share your story and subscribe to my blog, Women Sharing, on my website, malenerex.dk. Thank you.